The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yeah, Pete Wedderburn, Pete the Vet, is with me this week to place his favourite read up on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf. Pete, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks very much.
Listen, thanks a million for coming in. Are you a big reader?
When I can, my main problem is that I'm too busy with the rest of life, like many of us, I suppose. But when I was a teenager, I would totally be lost in books for hours on end. And just with adulthood came much more demands on my time, and I find it harder to do it.
And are you good to kind of carve out at least a few minutes at night to read, or are you scrolling on your phone, or are you just fall asleep as soon as you hit the hay?
Nighttime is the most likely time when I'll get 20 minutes and half an hour. But actually, the real thing is holidays. When I go away on holidays, I take at least one solid book and just plow through it. And I love that escape.
And lots of people will read fiction on holidays. Maybe it's just the escapism or the relaxation. Are you in that category?
Funny enough, I'm a bit of both, because I had some fiction. I had actually Dan Brown novel, you know, like...
He's a new one coming out, isn't he? I think later this year. And people look down their nose at them. It'll be the biggest selling book of the year when it comes out, by a country mile.
So I read his stuff, and it's page turning. It's easy to get stuck into, but I found it ultimately very unsatisfying because I find too many potholes.
There's plenty of them in it. Yeah. That's why people look down their nose. But like I say, everyone's going to read it. Was it a difficult task then when we asked you to pick a book, a single book to put up on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf?
No, I didn't find it difficult at all.
All right.
Because my life is kind of defined by what would be my favourite book, which is anybody who knows about the veterinary profession will know straight away what this book is. And it's James Herriot, the famous vet who wrote best-selling books through the 1970s. And the first one was called If Only They Could Talk. And I read that when I was like about 10 years of age, and I'd already thought I wanted to be a vet. And this man, who was born like 55 years before me, he was the previous generation of vets, and he wrote about his career in such an endearing, fascinating, humorous, enlightening way. Most of your listeners may have heard of him, although I think perhaps now people have forgotten. But back then in the 1970s, his books were absolute bestsellers. Everyone came out, had a new book every 18 months, and it was just lapped up by the public. And he wrote about life as a vet around the time of the Second World War and in the years after the Second World War.
Yeah.
Living in the Yorkshire Dales. And then there was a very famous television series, All Creatures Great and Small, which then came out in the 1980s.
Based on him?
Based on his books.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
Absolutely. And then movies after that as well. But really, he wrote beautifully. Mm. And his life story is quite interesting in that he wrote them when he was in his 1950s. And he actually wrote them in response to being hospitalised for clinical depression. And a lot of people don't realise that. So he got burnt out from veterinary, and possibly from something like brucellosis that he got when he was a vet, like a serious illness. But whatever, he was burnt out, and as part of his recovery, he went back to his teenage passion of reading, and he read books like P.G. Wodehouse and studied the style and thought, I can do something like this. And it's his writing style which is so wonderful.
Yeah.
He uses beautiful language, and he describes people and animals in a way that's really quite unique. And many, many vets, myself included, have written books to try and keep up with this guy, but none of us, not one vet ever has managed to get anywhere close to what James Herriot did.
And would you ever, do you go back and read his books?
I do. If I want some nice nostalgic rereading, I'll definitely go. All of his books are on my bookshelf, and I love them still.
And given the fact that he's describing his life as a vet in the 1940s in the Yorkshire Dales and how different that world was, is it very different from being a vet today? Or are there elements of it that, are kind of still exist?
There's very many elements are the same, like people are the same, pet owners, farmers, animals get the same illnesses, and often the techniques that we use to fix them are the same. And it's very nostalgic to read them because it kind of harkens back to a time when life seemed simpler, when you didn't have to do 20 blood tests and x-rays and MRI scans to make a diagnosis. It was much more based on intuition and experience. Now, it's much better nowadays, obviously. The care that animals get these days is much, much better. And many animals in James Herriot's time would have died when nowadays they would be saved. But nonetheless, to read about the way he used to to get through his life. And he also writes about human relationships. And you learn about his courtship with his girlfriend and his wife and the wonderful relationships he has with the vets that he works with, Siegfried and Tristan. And the whole... it's a wonderful imaginary world, but it was based on a real world.
Yeah. I know you seem to have other books there by James Herriot as well. Vets in Harness, Vets Might Fly, and others. Well thumbed, they look, it has to be said.
Very well thumbed. Very well thumbed.
So listen, Pride of Place, James Herriot's If Only They Could Talk, up on the Hard Shoulder Bookshelf. We ask people, or we allow people to kind of mention other books and things that they might have read that, you know, might have been a close run thing to put up on. What would you include?
I thought I was going to mention a book that I read when I was away on holiday this year.
This
was the non-fiction book, and it is quite an astonishing volume. And it's something, it's written by somebody called Ian McGilchrist. And he basically he's a man in his 70s now, but he studied philosophy at Oxford, and then he went on to become a neuroscientist and a psychiatrist. And he's written this remarkable book, which is called The Matter with Things. And a lot of it is about the difference between the left brain and the right brain.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not what people stereotypically think. The left brain and right brain do work very differently, but it's more to do with subtleties that he goes into in great detail. And he learned about this by seeing people with left brain and right brain injuries, and his previous book went into that in more detail. This book is more about metaphysics, if you like, and about understanding things like quantum physics and paradoxes that are there. You heard about Schrodinger's cat, who's alive and dead at the same time, this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, and how a particle that's been observed behaved differently to a particle that's not been observed, all this kind of stuff. And he believes it's all about using the right brain.
The theory
brain.
That is that the act of observation impacts the thing being observed.
That's exactly it, exactly. And a particle far, far away from another particle will also behave differently when the other particle is observed, even though it's nowhere near it, this kind of stuff.
Mm.
And he would talk about it. He basically, these are big books, they're like 800,000 words, this book is.
Oh, wow.
That's a massive book. So it was a good solid week doing nothing at all but reading this book. But it kind of is the first science-based book that I've read that really gives presents serious evidence, really, for the existence of a creative force in this universe. Now, he wouldn't call it God, but he means God, really.
Mm.
He means that he describes our world as being far too left brain dominated. Left brain wants only evidence, wants just black and white and things, like, whereas the right brain is more looking at the whole picture, more about things, the way that things are moving all the time. It's music, art, creativity, much more of what is real life. Left brain wants it to break it down into things that you can put into a pile and count them. There they are. Right brain is more saying, look, how can you do that to music? Music is the movement. It's the sound that's changing all the time. That's the reality of our lives, is that kind of movement, not just static single images.
And his argument then that there must be some creator is what is born out of that right brain experience, is it?
That's where it starts from. But he one of the amazing things about this book is that he quotes a massive number of people over centuries, from Plato to Socrates to Shakespeare to, you know, he basically is widely read, and he uses all of this, feeds us into the way that a different way of seeing the world. He feels our current world is kind of doomed because we're so dominated by left brain thinking, and I understand that, because, you know, As a vet, I'm a scientist, and I'm a bit prone to left brain thinking.
Yeah.
If there isn't evidence for something, then, well, it doesn't work, you know? But that goes against the feelings that lots of people have. That actually
absence
that
of evidence work. Isn't evidence of absence.
That kind of, yeah, that's the kind of thing that you know, I find this quite difficult in some ways, because I'm definitely a left brain biased person.
Yeah.
So you really educated me about the right brain. I found it very helpful from the point of view of my own sort of views on religion and what I believe.
And are you a religious person?
Well, I would say spiritual more than religious.
Yeah.
I kind of find religion gets too much wrapped up with what
Were you brought up in a church?
I was brought up in a, I was brought up as a Scottish Presbyterian. Yeah. Yes, but as time goes on, you kind of wonder. Well, you know, people wrote stuff down when they had some sort of illumination many years ago, and then we start to take what they wrote down as being the absolute one and only rule. So I'd be more somebody who believed that there's many ways to God. You know, there's, you know, different ways of approaching that same sort of sense of the sacred, and so
those, like, raging Scots Presbyterians would like to hear you say that, MP.
But this book kind of gives scientific justification to that in my mind.
Yes,
he kind of makes you begin to believe. Yes, the collective unconscious of Jung, and, you know, yes, dreams. All of this is connected in some way, and you know, he provokes lots of thinking. And for me, it was a complete escape on holidays, where I have a very busy life here in Ireland when I'm working, and to go away and get completely immersed in a different world. It was great. And by the way, I've got one very small PS of a book. I'm probably not allowed to do this.
Go on, do it
but
anyway.
This is a great one, and it's basically a hands-on guide to mindfulness of all things, which is called Mindfulness, A Practical Guide to Finding Peace in a Frantic World, by somebody called Mark Williams. And it's just like an 8-week course in meditating twice a day for 8 weeks, and you find peace by doing that. And it's based on mindfulness and cognitive therapy combined, and it basically is evidence-based to work better than antidepressants for people who are feeling that way.
Brilliant. You know,
it's a really, really good way of getting a better grip on your life, and I think it's great.
Well, I'm not sure if that most famous of Scots Presbyterians, John Knox, might have made a mindfulness, but we'll stick it up there anyway for a mention. Mindfulness, A Practical Guide to Finding Peace in a Frantic World by Mark Williams and Danny Penman. Honourable mention, but The Matter with Things, Our Brains, Our Delusions and the Unmaking of the World by Ian McGilchrist is the book that Pete mentioned he recently read, that fascinating book on the left brain, right brain and our misunderstandings of all of it. But Pride of Place, up on the hard-shouldered bookshelf, is James Herriot's If Only They Could Talk. Somebody's gotten in touch to say, I had exactly the same love for James Herriot's books in the 1970s, read them many, many times. I also wanted to be a vet. Netflix remade All Creatures Great and Small in 2020, only one series, and I'm still waiting for more. So there you go. Pete, listen, thanks a million for coming into us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.